From the land of the Grand University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 23rd day of May, 2023. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson from agmarket.net. We'll check in on the crop conditions in Illinois, Minnesota, and Iowa with the state statisticians and hear about the crop conditions across the Midwest from USDA's report yesterday afternoon. And we'll discuss ticks in the state of Illinois with Teresa Steckler. She is an agricultural extension specialist in the southern part of the state dealing with beef cattle, but has concerns, as we all should, about humans and disease vectoring from ticks to human beings. You'll want to listen up for that. And then as we close out our time together, I'll give you a quick update of the weather forecast here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
July corn finished the day higher at 577.5, up 6.5 cents. September at 512, 7.25 higher. In December, 7.75 higher at 516.75. The soy complex, on the other hand, lower, at least in the beans, at 1322.5, down 18.75. August at 1258.75, 16.75 lower. In November, soybeans $11.87.75, down 9.25. Bean meal futures at 406.40, down 580, and the bean oil down $1.01 at 47.76. Wheat futures soft red up 16 today, settled at $6.22.25, and the hard red July at 841.5, up 15.75. Both of those, of course, in the harvest month for the day. Live cattle futures $1.02.5 lower at 162.57, and the feeder cattle at $233.47.5, $1.42.5 lower. Lean hogs at $80.97.5, $1.17.5 lower for the afternoon. Gasoline on the wholesale price at $2.55.9, just about 0.2 cents on this Tuesday. Wayne Nelson from agmarket.net now joins us to take a look at the marketplace. A partial turnaround Tuesday today, Wayne, with the corn up and the soybeans lower.
You know, yeah, it is. Kurt let me have a little bit of fun today, so we got to have partial turnaround Tuesday. And the corn staying up quite a bit. They said today's the first day that some of the large money managers started asking about the summer weather forecast. If you watched Eric last night and this morning, you know, he was talking a lot about the dryness through the I states and whatever for at least the next 10 days to 2 weeks. You know, that isn't a disaster in itself, but it is if we don't see rain coming after that time period. And we did see a little bit of pump up on the volatility on the options on some of that, and I think some option business was done that way. But as the day went on, the beans sagged on us and took away about half the gains they brought in yesterday. And I think a lot of that came from liquidation of some oil. The oil was the big winner yesterday and had the most gain that way. And they thought that when it turned around a little bit that a lot of those guys just had stop losses in and probably took just got out taking a small loss rather than taking everything and exasperated the flow or the downward push on the beans.
The Dakotas and Minnesota's prevent plant date for corn is coming up Thursday. That's the 25th. Did we learn anything from the crop progress report related to it yesterday, how far along they are? And then more importantly, how they might be thinking as it's related to crop insurance. And that probably is something you heard about from your JSA folks.
Yeah, there is talk about that. North Dakota's looking. The guesstimate is 800,000 to 1.1 million acres of prevent plant will come up there. I know as they looked through some of the numbers and whatever yesterday on a couple of our conference calls, they're saying it still would be profitable unless you're in real bad conditions up there to probably plant through the weekend here. After that, then it becomes a little more touchy just because of frost dates and everything like that. But thought that there would be more income to do that and look for that to come on. But, I mean, I do think there's going to be somewhere between the that 750 and 1.1 million acres prevented plant that does happen up in that area, Todd.
Was there any spreading between the two commodities, corn and soybeans, today?
You know, I'm not sure that there was. I didn't see any big reports of that. It sure looks like that's sort of the case, but I think probably just more selling in the idea that Brazil Their bean crop continues to look fantastic, and we're still out of the market as far as Brazil being cheaper. We are seeing the basis levels starting to work up in Brazil, but they still are cheaper than we are for the beans.
Anything else before I let you go for the day?
You know, I think that we're looking at tremendous, possibly good crop looking at things. But, you know, overall right now we're worried about the debt ceiling, if we can progress on that. We think they'll get something done before the weekend here, but, you know, it keeps getting kicked down the road. The Chinese recovery isn't as good as they'd hoped for. And the feds keep talking a little more hawkish about maybe just taking a breather here, a pause, and still wanting to go back to raising rates the next time around. So those are all things hanging over our head.
All things will be depending on you to make sure that we know about. Hey, thanks much. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He is with AgMarket.net. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows 81% of the corn crop around the nation has been planted. 75% is the rolling five-year average. 52% of that crop is up and emerged. 45% is the five-year average. 66% of the soybeans have been sown. 52% is the five-year average. And 36% of that crop is up and emerged. 24% is the rolling five-year average. 61% of the wheat has headed. That's right on par with the five-year average in the condition of the crop. 26% good and 5% excellent. Last year, those numbers were 24 and 4, and last week they were 25 and 4. But however you slice it, the winter wheat crop is not in particularly good condition. Subsoil moistures across the whole of the 48 states, now 62% adequate and 7% surplus at this time. Last year, those numbers were 55 and 10, respectively. Now here are the statisticians with updates from Minnesota, Illinois, and Iowa.
This is Brian Gallagher, agricultural statistician for the USDNS Iowa Field Office with the weekly crop progress and condition report. Cooler than normal temperatures and relatively dry weather helped Iowa farmers. They're still planting corn, soybeans, and oats this week, although planting activities were nearing completion. Topsoil moisture condition rated 5% very short, 20% short, 71% adequate, and 4% surplus. 95% of Iowa's expected corn crop has been planted, 9 days ahead of last year and 12 days ahead of the 5-year average. 65% of the corn crop has emerged, 6 days ahead of last year and 4 days ahead of the average. 84% of Iowa's expected soybean crop has been planted, just over a week ahead of last year and nearly 2 weeks ahead of normal. 43% of soybeans have emerged, 8 days ahead of last year and 6 days ahead of average. 94% of the expected oat crop has emerged, 8 days ahead of normal. 11% of the oat crop has headed, 9 days ahead of last year and 10 days ahead of the average. Oat condition improved to 80% good to excellent. Pasture condition rated 58% good to excellent. Overall livestock conditions are good. For the USDNS Iowa Field Office, this is Brian Gallagher.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois. Last week was cooler than average and drier than normal. Temperatures averaged 63 degrees, and that was 1.6 degrees below normal. Rainfall averaged 0.65 inches, and that was nearly 1/4 inch below normal for this time of year. Southern parts of the prairie state received slightly more rainfall than normal, but the rest of Illinois was drier than average. There were 4.8 days suitable for field work last week, and topsoil moisture was rated 4% very short, 14 short, 65 adequate, and 17% surplus. That is a little drier than the previous week. Corn planting reached 91% finished compared to 75% 1 year ago, and also 75% for the 5-year average. 68% of corn acres have emerged compared to 45% 1 year ago and 53% normally. The Illinois corn crop was rated 5% very poor to poor, 26% fair, and 69% good to excellent. Soybean planting reached 85% finished compared to 59% 1 year ago and 58% normally. 57% of soybean acres have emerged compared to 34% normally. 8% of soybean acres were rated as very poor to poor, 35% were rated as fair, and 57% as good to excellent. Switching now to winter wheat, 84% of acres are heading in Illinois. That compares to 69 1 year ago and 76% normally. The condition of the wheat crop improved from last week and was rated 9% very poor to poor, 24% fair, and 67% good to excellent. Finally, pasture conditions declined and were rated 5% very poor to poor, 32% fair, and 63% good to excellent. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Mild week weather-wise gave Minnesota farmers 4.2 days suitable for field work during the week. The majority of field work for the week was planting crops. Some livestock were released into pastures. Top soil moisture supply is rated 3% very short, 9% short, 68% adequate, and 20% surplus. Corn planting reached 80% complete. That's 1 week ahead of last year and 1 day ahead of the 5-year average. Corn emergence reached 44%. Soybean planting was 53% complete. That's 1 week ahead of last year, but 1 day behind the 5-year average. Soybean emergence reached 19%. Planting progress for barley reached 66%, with 24% of the crop emerged. Oats planted was 77%, with 49% of the crop emerged. Spring wheat planting reached 74%, with 30% emerged. All hay condition was rated 68% good to excellent, and pasture condition was rated 64% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates across the Midwest. Next week's USDA reports will include a crop condition report for corn. Well, with the growing season, warmer weather, in fact, pests are out and about. And one of the things we often talk about here on the show are insect pests of crops, field crops particularly. There are insect pests of animals, including humans. And today we're going to talk with Teresa Steckler, who is a beef cattle specialist with University of Illinois Extension. However, this discussion is involved with the human side of the pest, so everybody needs to listen up on this one. You probably heard a little bit about different kinds of ticks moving in to the state of Illinois and some precautions that maybe we need to take. Thank you, Teresa, for taking some time with me today. Let's just start with basic protection if you're working with cattle, as it's related to diseases and other things that can be transferred by ticks. So what should producers normally do? And then we'll get into some of the new things that are happening.
All right. Well, thank you, Todd, for the opportunity. I was at a couple different farms, and the guys were, I had ticks on me. The guys had ticks on them, and there's ticks on the cattle. And just want to remind everyone that they need to be proactive about ticks and tick-borne diseases, whether it be for their livestock, pets, or their own health. And I'm no expert in human diseases by any means, but if you go to the Illinois Department of Public Health tick surveillance maps, that can tell you what human diseases are in your counties or county. So if you're looking for like the black-legged tick, which has been historically in Illinois, we also have the Lone Star tick, the Gulf Coast tick, and the American dog tick. And each one carries certain diseases. There seems to be a little bit more Lyme disease. I've had several people tell me that their family or a family member has been afflicted with the meat allergy. And there was one particular family in the south region of the state where three of the five family members were afflicted by this. So basically they can't eat red meat. And that can be quite hard on a family to be able to come up with adequate, a lot of protein, whatever, especially if you have children that are in the high growth phase. That's one of the things, and preventative, you know, be proactive. You can pre-spray your pants permethrins where you won't get attacked as much or the ticks will fall off. So, and those pants, I think, you can wash them several times, and the it will the residue will stay on the pants, and you can tuck your socks over your pants. If you know you're going to be in a high tick area, be sure to try to get the ticks off as soon as possible. Don't take those clothes in the house. If you've got an area where you can change, say in a garage, check yourself over, shower as quickly as possible, then check yourself again, have your spouse check areas that's hard for you to see, and just if you do get a tick that's been latched on, my recommendation is put it in a Ziploc bag, put it in the freezer, and if you have flu-like symptoms, which is the most common, not there are other symptoms, then you can send that tick off and figure out specifically, you know, which disease that particular tick carries, and hopefully get the required treatment.
Many producers, as you said, will be familiar with the black-legged tick. The other two ticks, are those new to the area, or are there some other ticks that have been coming in beyond those two?
Well, the American dog tick we've had for years and years, those are the ones that are probably most well known for guys. The Lone Star tick has been moving a little bit further north from the south, basically anywhere from DeWitt south, about almost all the counties, not all the counties. If you go to the Illinois Tick Surveillance Map website, you can see where the Lone Star tick is located, and you know it can cause ehrlichiosis, tularemia, heartland virus, those kinds of things. And then the Gulf Coast tick has been found more in the south, mainly Effingham south. There's some counties that it's established in, especially down along Pope, Hardin, Pulaski area. And the Gulf Coast tick can carry a couple different, like different spotted fever, rickettsia, parkeri. So each tick carries different things, and it's just important that we recognize what ticks are in what area, and the tick surveillance map will help you understand what ticks are in your particular county, and what you know, if you get one on you, what you should be aware of as far as potential disease.
Are there ticks, for instance, that are not or are potentially coming into the state of Illinois from other parts of the country? And what should producers do about that? Because cattle move a whole lot, about just like humans, but cattle do move, and certainly they can carry these pests with them.
Yes. Currently, there is a new invasive species of tick, and it's the Asian longhorn tick. And that one, 2019, was not, they're saying that probably is not the very first tick in the United States, but that is where it really hit the forefront. There was a ewe out there that had several hundreds of thousands on her, and they essentially had to euthanize that ewe, and that tick has just spread out. The East Coast has there's 19 states currently, and the tick is slowly marching its way west. Currently, it was just spotted in the southeast corner of Indiana. It's in the eastern side of Kentucky. It seems to be coming along the river, the Ohio River. There's a couple spots in Mizzou, northwest corner of Mizzou, and I think, don't quote me, on the southeast corner of Mizzou has a county that the tick has been spotted in. The problem with this particular tick, Todd, is the fact that it's parthenogenic, does not need a male to reproduce. So I'm just asking beef producers, if they are commingling their cattle with cattle from out of state, especially at shows, that when they bring those cattle back, quarantine those animals, pour them, and check those animals over for ticks. We really don't want that tick established. It's a matter of time, but we're just trying to be proactive as possible. Or if you have an inordinate amount of ticks on your farm, please give me a call. I'll be more than happy to come out and collect ticks off of your farm and make sure we don't have a population of the longhorn tick. And if we do, we will work with the experts in the entomological field to see what we can do to help lessen the scourge that they can be.
Thank you very much, Teresa. We appreciate it. And thanks for all the update and the information.
Yep. Thank you, Todd, for this opportunity. Take care.
You too, Teresa. That's Teresa Steckler. She is an extension beef cattle specialist based in deep southern Illinois at the Dixon Springs Research Facility. She works with cattle, but ticks are a species which can cause disease in humans and cattle. If you'd like to learn more about the individual ticks we were discussing, the diseases that they may bring along with them, and use the surveillance map, you can do that on our website at willag.org. Do check yourself, your loved ones, and your animals for ticks if you've been working or playing outside. Don Day usually joins us on a Tuesday to take a look at the weather forecast. However, he is out of the office. I do have an update of some of the numbers from around the Midwest and a few other places across the planet. This week in the central part of Illinois, skies will be sunny like most of the rest of the Midwest, in fact. We will drop to 72 degrees for a high on Thursday. The low overnight that night, mostly clear and 48. We'll build back to the mid-80s by the time we get to Monday of next week. In Grand Island, Nebraska, maybe a little rainfall on Thursday. That'll be in the form of a thunderstorm. A 40% chance, a 25% chance of rainfall, but really mostly sunny skies Thursday and Friday there. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday should be cloudy. 25% a chance of rain each day in Grand Island, Nebraska. And finally in Fargo, North Dakota, Thursday, their last plant date for corn, is sunny, a high of 80 degrees. It'll be windy and breezy, and that'll stay that way through Friday. Then they too have a chance of rain on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. That's in that 25 to 30% range. In Brasilia, Brazil, one last place to look at. Sunny skies, a high of 79 to 80. And overnight lows in that 59 to 60 degree point as they fill corn. That's a look at the weather forecast. You've been listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org, willag.org. There you can subscribe to our podcast. Under the podcast tab, look for the Closing Market Report, Commodity Week, and the Illinois Nutrient Loss Reduction Podcast. By the way, tomorrow evening on PBS, watch for Illinois Farm Bureau's Lauren Lurkins and the University of Illinois crop scientist Andrew Marginot on a PBS special about agriculture.